B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, November 6, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, are bots ruining your experience in competitive games? Plus, we're going to go through the 25 best games of the 2010s. Those conversations ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. We got to talk about Terry Bogard.
Yes!
I am being forced to.
Yeah.
I am told that if we don't talk about Terry Bogard's inclusion into Smash, which got released last week.
It's going to be smoke in the city.
Oh, geez. There it is.
All right.
That was the phrase. I thought I was. For a minute, I thought I was going to get these hands, but it's going to be smoke in the city.
It's going to be some smoke in the city.
Okay.
Listen,
all right.
We're going to talk a little bit about Terry Bogard simply because I think this is a very flashpoint moment for Smash, which, as we know, Smash is the best-selling fighting game in the history of fighting games.
I would say that just about every moment for Smash has been a flashpoint for Smash.
It really is, man. And basically, at this point, everybody who owns a Switch on Smash.
That's true.
Yeah, so, the adoption rate's like 60% or 70%. It's something insane.
Yeah.
Can we for just a moment actually just pause on this fact that is remarkable, specifically for Smash, in the Smash universe, because Melee sat atop the competitive mountain for so long. Brawl was not able to knock it off. Smash for Wii U was not able to knock it off. And finally, we have a game where the competitive side of the fence is like, yes, this is acceptable, this is okay. And so what's been so exciting about it is that every time a new character gets added to the roster, it does feel like a legitimately big deal, especially in the competitive sense.
Yeah, for sure. And I think somebody like Terry Bogard, which has such a long fighting game legacy. I mean, the character's been out for almost 30 years now.
Yeah.
Through various SNK franchises. I was an old Japanese fighting game maker. Really, they were the first competitors to Street Fighter, not Mortal Kombat.
Right.
But Terry Bogard was released over the past week, and I wanted to definitely bring him up because you can use Terry Bogard as if he was a 2D fighting game character.
How does that work?
That's
interesting. Yeah, how does that work in a fighter like Smash, though?
I have yet to get my hands on him, so I can't speak to firsthand experience, but you can input all of your commands as if it was a King of Fighters or Fatal Fury game.
You're talking like quarter circle forward.
Yes.
Back. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to bust out the sticks to play him.
Yeah. This is the first character in Smash that I believe I could use a fight stick to use, man.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely ridiculous, but Sakurai, the director for Smash Brothers, spent like 40 minutes in a Nintendo Direct talking about this character.
And in a comparison, just for a bit of a basis for comparison, previous character walkthroughs averaged out to like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
10 minutes,
yeah.
17 minutes. So getting a 40-minute walkthrough of this character made me think that there has to be something very unique and in-depth, and being able to play him like a 2D fighter makes him incredibly unique into the Smash world. Do you think that that is going to in any way be able to impact his competitive viability? If you're having to do more complex button inputs to be able to do even simple combo moves, doesn't that give someone playing Terry Bogard in competitive give them a bit of a disadvantage?
I think it's a combination of two things. I do think he'll be a difficult character for beginners to pick up. So if you do have Smash, this is a character that I think is going to take a long time for you to get used to. But you can still play him like a traditional Smash character. You can still use your right stick for your Smash attacks and all that stuff. So you don't have to use those fighting game style inputs.
Interesting.
You do, however, get bonus damage and bonus sort of properties to each move that you actually put the input on. So he's a really, really interesting character.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently talking about Terry Bogard being put in as DLC for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate on the Switch. And this kind of made me want to ask you guys, like, what's your all-time favorite piece of DLC? Norris is so hyped up about Terry Bogard. All I've been hearing for months is Terry Bogard, Terry
Bogard.
Are
you okay?
Yes, I'm okay.
All right, well,
stop asking.
Before Joe takes it, I don't know if we're going to give Norris another one or not, but anything Mass Effect has ever released for any of their DLC has always been so good. It adds so much to the story, to the characters. It never feels like tacked on or anything. Like, in my opinion, any DLC for Mass Effect is, it, if you're going to play the game, you have to get the DLC.
Well, that's
you have to.
Robbie,
you have to.
We just got Mass Effect DLC announced for Anthem.
We sure did.
That's pretty exciting.
They got Mass Effect skins, which is insulting.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, that's kind of sad.
It makes you just wish they had made a Mass Effect game. Anyway.
Joe, what about you? What's your all-time favorite piece of DLC?
And did I just take yours?
You did not take mine. My all-time favorite piece of DLC is the DLC for Outlast that came out here.
Ooh,
the Whistleblower expansion.
Whistleblower. What a Candleblower.
Yeah, the Candleblower expansion. No, the Whistleblower expansion. And one of the things that I really appreciated about that DLC is it took a story that I already enjoyed, because I did enjoy Outlast in the first playthrough, and it really turned everything on its ear. It showed us, by taking us back to the beginning of the story and show what happened just prior to our main character from the first bit of the game arriving at the asylum, we got to see really what happened there, and it all wraps up in a very nice, neat way as your character in the DLC escapes the asylum in the car that your character from the original game arrived in. Like, it all kind of like ties together really nicely.
Okay, kind of tying it all up in a nice little bow there.
Like, there's one point where you're like at one point in the asylum, and you look out the window and you see the steeple burning, and you're like, hey, wait a minute, that's the conclusion of the first game that's happening over there. That's a nice little touch.
Nice, connecting some dots there.
Yeah, it
for
was
me,
really good.
For me, listen, I know that Bethesda is under siege right now, but my all-time favorite piece of DLC has got to be horse armor, obviously.
Shut up.
Listen, Oblivion killed it with the horse armor.
Shut up.
Listen, every horse that you come across in the entire game, not a single one of them has armor.
None
but
of armor.
You sure. pay a just a little $3 and my horse
it's
now
stupid.
Suddenly is armored and protected.
It's stupid.
I'm kidding. My favorite piece of DLC has got to be Dragonborn from Skyrim. It was great to go back to Solstheim, see the different ways that the island has changed since you went there for the first time in Morrowind. Mm-hmm. It gave the world of Tamriel a sense of like history and progression, and gave you kind of a sense of time. And I loved that. I loved that about that DLC.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. How hyped are you for Terry Bogard? Seriously, you got to quit mentioning it. Now that it's out, just settle down a little bit.
No.
Please?
No!
Okay. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, I got a question for you. Are bots ruining your competitive experience? That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily, but ahead next, we're going to check out the top 25 best games of the 2010s. How many can you guess? Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio, CheckpointXP.com.
The top 25 games of the 2010s. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports WBSM 1340 AM in Florence, Alabama, and News Talk WGAC 580 and 95.1 in Augusta, Georgia. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. We've got a ton of emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one but two cat emotes. We know how much you love cats. Tolly and Fritz are actual cats, are now Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get them. It's over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. The top 25 games of the 2010s. So this is like real recently.
Yeah.
You just gotta think back 9 years.
The last decade.
Yeah, normally when we do this, we reach a little bit farther back, right? Like the best games of the 1990s.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. The early 2000s. You got to think of a specific time period. These are recent, within the last decade.
These are very, very recent. So I want you guys to put your lens on in terms of these top 25 games. So we're just going to do it as usual. We're guessing. I'm taking this from Joe again. So we're going to start to my right. We're going to start with Robbie. Robbie, what do you think is one of the top games of the past?
Let's go with an easy one.
Yep.
Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
All right. Breath of the Wild is numero two.
Nice.
Not number one, huh?
Okay. Nope.
I'll take a stab at what I think is number one. How about God of War?
Ooh. God of War. I don't think you made it.
Oh, no! What?
Nope.
That's criminal.
That is criminal.
Oh, yep. Man. That would have been one of my guesses otherwise.
Yeah.
Nope.
Wow. Nate.
Wow. Okay.
I am going to say Dark Souls.
Dark Souls did not make the top 25.
What?
This list is horrible.
Yeah, this is... I'm not okay.
Oh, I'm wrong.
Oh.
Number eight.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm like Soulsian, man.
I'm trying to juggle like two screens right now.
I get it.
All right, all right. I'm gonna go with one, you know, that's me. Overwatch.
Overwatch is number, I know it's on here, I think it's number 19.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right.
All right. How about Undertale?
Undertale. I know for a fact.
Good, it better be.
He's killing time.
Is not on this list.
Oh, no!
No Undertale and no God of War.
By the way, this list is provided to you by way of Polygon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, man. I know a new article that I will never follow again. Awful.
All right, Nate.
All right. Fallout 4.
Fallout 4, no.
No.
All right, I know that off rip. No.
All right, come on, you guys. You guys got to get more into the mainstream of this.
You got to think bigger.
Fortnite.
Fortnite, number 10.
You know what? Actually higher up than I thought
number
it would be.
Number 10, Fortnite.
Yeah, okay.
All right. How about Grand Theft Auto 5?
Damn it, that's what I was going to say.
The answer is no.
I'm sorry, what?
The answer is no.
No God of War, Grand Theft Auto 5.
I don't know. No, I have no idea if anyone could hear that over the radio, but I almost just did a spit take. I was drinking Pepsi at the moment you'd said that. I almost did a legitimate spit take all over our nice brand new gear.
Yeah, don't kill the messenger, but yeah, no, not on this list.
Keep in mind, not in the top 25, could be in the other 75 places.
All right.
But should be in the top 25.
Now, these are best, not like influential.
No, it's best according to Polygon. So there are some smaller games on this list.
All right.
You should think
about. All right. League of Legends.
Yes. League of Legends comes in at number six.
That came out in 2009.
Still on this list.
Yes, it did. But okay.
Whatever.
Fine.
Well,
sure.
They said the past decade.
I guess it has been out all of that time. Sure.
I'm going to go with another low-hanging fruit here. Let's go with Minecraft.
Minecraft, numero uno.
There we go.
That makes sense. Makes sense, yeah.
Well, I'm 0-3.
You're really bad at this, Joe.
How about Skyrim?
Joe's not used to being on the other side of the administration.
Skyrim,
right?
No.
Really?
No.
You're lying.
No Skyrim?
Don't lie
to
me.
Skyrim.
Wow, I'm kind of shocked by that.
Skyrim is also, I believe, staunchly in the last decade, if I'm not mistaken.
It might have been.
I believe that's like 08.
Has it been that long since the last Elder Scrolls game? That's shocking.
08 or 09.
Skyrim came out in 2011.
Mm-hmm. I'm wrong.
Okay.
Either way, it's not in the top 25 according to Polygon.
Wow.
There are some games you guys play on this list and have played regularly.
Played regularly? World of Warcraft?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
That was definitely
that's not even a good guess.
In the aughts.
Robbie.
My strategy here is to go for the games that I think has touched the most people. Let's go for a Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go coming in at number 5.
Robbie is killing this.
He is.
Yeah, you guys are bad.
I think he's seen the list.
All right.
Oh, jeez. Here we go again.
Cheater.
Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
No.
Wait, what? For real?
It's not on the list.
I'm on punked right now.
On the top 25 list.
I'm gonna try something here.
Okay. Yeah, go for it.
Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
No.
Okay. Okay. All right. At least he's not punking you.
Okay.
Specifically.
Back to Robbie.
Super Mario Galaxy.
Ooh, good guess. And no.
Galaxy.
No, there is a Mario game on this list, though.
I don't know the Mario games that have came out recently.
To get on the
Mario
board, Super Mario Odyssey.
That's the reason.
No.
What?
The best-selling game on the Switch? Really?
No.
It's not the best-selling game on the Switch, though. Oh, I got one. Go, Nate. Go, Nate.
I don't want to play anymore.
I'm going to actually take one from the chat. Lloyd saying Mario Maker.
Nope.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Mario Kart for the Wii.
Nope.
Oh, darn.
Good. All right. Finally.
I'm out of Mario games, man.
There's so much other stuff you guys have not
thought
about.
We got to get the Mario game.
You told us there's a Mario game on it. We're going to find it.
Yeah. Okay.
Spider-Man.
No.
Really? We stopped looking for the Mario game?
I'm out of Mario games. Like,
but anyway, how much time we got? Because I could just give you the rest of the
round. We had like 2 minutes left.
All right, so one more round. Okay. Nate, go.
Mario Kart 8?
No. It's not a Mario Kart game.
Rocket League.
Rocket League is on the list coming in at number 23.
Come on, Joe. Get on the board, man.
I'm still not on the board. Resident Evil 7.
No.
Really?
No, he's not good at this. Anyway, wow. I'm going to read off the rest of the list. Number 25, Outer Wilds. Number 24, Towerfall.
Outer Wilds?
These games are better than GTA 5.
Number 23, Rocket League. Number 22, Stardew Valley. Number 21, CSGO. Number 20, Journey. Number 19, Overwatch. 18, Her Story. 17, Persona 4 Golden. 16, Nier Automata. 15, Everything. 14, Super Mario 3D World.
Oh,
number 13,
I never got that one.
Gone Home. Number 12, Return of the Obra Dinn. Number 11, PUBG. Number 10, Fortnite. Number 9, The Witcher 3. Number 8, Dark Souls. 7, PT. 6, League of Legends. 5, Pokemon Go. 4, Kentucky Route Zero. Number 3, Spelunky. And number 2, Breath of the Wild. And number 1, Minecraft.
Joe, we just got punked.
So bad. No, you got punked. I got quite a few of those.
Yeah, but that list is horrific.
Oh. Kentucky Route what?
What is
Zero.
That?
Is there a gas leak in here? What was that?
No, it's some indie game I've never played.
I refuse to accept that. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. How many did you guess off of that list? Did you guess Spelunky would come in at number 4? I didn't. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily are bots ruining your competitive games because they seem to be ruining Fortnite. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
There's bots in my Fortnite. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP. Hey, they laughed. That's not fair. Your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com. While you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. Rick Hoggerhide, a.k.a. Weirdbeard, the latest addition to the Checkpoint XP crew.
Family.
Yes, family. That's another way to put it.
There's twice removed. Sure.
There's enough familial hatred to say that that's accurate.
Fair.
But anyway, he's the latest member of the Checkpoint XP family, and I understand you've got a little axe to grind here.
I have a large pickaxe, in fact, to grind when it comes to Fortnite. Right.
A minty
now.
Axe, as it was.
Yes. I don't know who here enjoys bots, but they have ruined my Fortnite playing.
Okay. I have heard nothing but good things about this, because after when
Very own producer Chad said that he has a lot of fun playing.
That's right.
Now.
He actually got some victories. After Fortnite went down and got sucked into the black hole, and Fortnite 2 has replaced it, that Epic has added bots to
I've heard some
game
people
lobbies.
Even say that it feels more akin to like original Fortnite, like back in the old days.
That's what I hear as well.
So what's your pickaxe here?
So like why is it ruining your experience? Most people are enjoying their easy kills.
I have three words. It's get good scrub. And the reason why is because it has been atrocious. I think like for a community that constantly is complaining about meta and about, like, hey, how do we play this game and everything, you are now playing a different game than what Fortnite was. Now, I do not want to argue or advocate for, like, the insane ninjas that would all be playing and whatnot to where you couldn't win, but not everybody deserves a win in Fortnite, and I will argue that to my death, and I believe that the introduction of these bots has done nothing but sort of padded the stats. Now, I'll tell you, I'm not a great Fortnite player before before the second version of Fortnite, and I'll call it a version. I only had 5 Victory Royales. Mm-hmm. I play on a Switch. It's not very good.
Oh boy.
So but afterwards I have totaled 37 Victory Royale.
Okay, oh my god.
Now hold on. Now that's ridiculous. That's stark. Yes. That is a stark difference in numbers. Because see, the way I feel about it is in the two big competitive games that I play, being League and Overwatch now, bots are something you do as like either a warm-up or you're trying out a new hero or champion or something like that. It's like, okay, I've never played Diana before. Let me go play some bots. And even then, I'm putting it on like the highest difficulty bots that there can be, because at beginner, they just walk towards you and die.
That's all these bots are. They do. They are literally
so
free kills.
It's you feel like someone's put training wheels on your bike without telling you and refusing to acknowledge it.
I think it's a little underhanded. A, they name all the bots as if they were like really bad AIM screen names.
That's amazing. Like I don't know. There's something about the concept that they're putting bots in to a certain extent to maybe help people at lower elo. Do they have elos or like ranks?
Not public facing. I'm sure they have like a private
like
ranking
MMR.
Yeah,
something.
See, I feel like if they had an outright ranking system in there, and maybe like, you know, your bronze and your silvers had, you know, 5% bots in there to maybe just help you get a little bit more practice in, so you're not dying all the time. But there was like a definite cutoff at gold and above.
Yeah, no, I think that's the way to do it, and I think that's how PUBG Mobile did it. Well, at least that's how I felt they did it.
Well, as you win, you get better, and you don't have to see bots.
And you get placed into lobbies with less bots. Yeah.
So here's my question: you said not everyone deserves a Victory Royale, and
correct.
I completely agree with that. I feel the same way about PUBG. Not everyone deserves chicken dinner. If you earn it, you earn it. But I feel like everyone does deserve to get a kill. And
yeah, that's the reason that Nate quit PUBG. He couldn't kill anybody.
Right, lifetime, I have 0 eliminations in Fortnite. I'm that bad.
I have more than you.
Dude, I have more than
you. If you have a kill, you have more than I do.
I've played Fortnite a grand total of 2 times, and I have two kills.
No,
it is the easiest game in the world to shoot in.
I shot a guy in the penis with a shotgun. Until he died.
If you want another kind of stat, really beforehand, I was averaging maybe 2 to 3 kills a game.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm not hitting 11 to 13, which, by the way, is, again, 10 to 13% of all the players in the map, then, you know, like, it's a slow game.
Yeah.
It's become, when I say unplayable, it's still playable, but to not see a real human until 5-10 minutes into the match.
Yeah. You don't know that Chad 420XXX isn't real.
I mean, but here's...
I can assume it by the way that he was backwards running without a weapon drawn.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing to me is in a lot of other games, the point that I think is intelligent is they separate the bot modes from... Yeah. The sort of regular lobby.
You always know when you're playing against bots.
Well, yeah, because bots don't behave in the same way humans do. Even the most sophisticated AI currently, you still know it's a bot, and it's kind of hard to explain, but you still know it's a bot.
We all remember that first game of PUBG Mobile where we go all the way in the first match, and you're like, "All right, I'm better at PUBG Mobile." No, I'm not.
Well, it was all bot.
The crazy thing though that I'm hearing is it sounds like, Rick, from what you're describing, is that if you're killing, you know, 10 to 13 before even encountering a human opponent, that means that either you killed all 10 to 13 bots and they landed with you, or there's only like 4 real human opponents and the rest are bots, because you got to think by that time, everyone else has killed that many bots,
yeah,
right?
It's weird.
Nobody's dying to bots.
No, but I mean, I think that, again, like Norris hinted to, even the most sophisticated AI is still pretty dumb.
Yeah.
And it, like, they have a tendency to all drop in named locations. You know, with humans, there's the chance of chaos. Like, there's always reason and room for, like, you know what I'm going to do? Just land anywhere. And that's not how it works or operates in this. So anymore, when it's like, I can land at a place and know, yo, let's farm some kills right now because nothing's happening.
Mm-hmm. I mean, could it be that there's just an influx of new players interested by what Epic was able to do with the black hole?
But see, to me, I feel like that should go directly against using that many bots, because Fortnite is not struggling for player base. It's not like bots are something you were putting in place, and, you know, for a community that was dwindling and you wanted to get people re-engaged in the game. So essentially you just made the game easier for more people to rise in the ranks and share their awesome stories and all that stuff in their clips.
Yeah, but I think we're kind of assuming, though, that every bad is a bot.
Well, these bots are not smart. They'll build one wall and then you can follow them. Like, it's bad. Like, I'm telling you, when I say they are not good bots, you can follow them for as long as you want. They don't shoot you.
I've looked up a few articles here, and there was one streamer who has well over 1,000 total wins, so highly skilled person.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Going back through a bunch of their replays, him and another guy were able to confirm that on average, their lobbies were made up of around 60% AI players.
See,
that's 60%
insane. And this is
unacceptable.
Super unacceptable.
That's so unacceptable, dude, because at a high level, you want to say that you are the best, and you want to do that against human people.
Yes.
I can't go in and talk about how I have a 90% win rate in bot lane if I'm only playing bots.
Yeah, to your point, Rick, the duo chose to leave a bot alive and watch how it behaved. Even when in close proximity, the robot would ignore them and simply perform random actions.
Yep. You know what they need to do?
Wow.
They need to get in touch with
the DeepMind.
They got to talk to Google, get the DeepMind AI in there.
There you go.
That's the play.
Stop getting it to trounce StarCraft players and get it to start trouncing
Stop
Fortnite
making
players.
The AI more sophisticated.
Like, can you focus in on Fortnite? That's what we need.
Oh, yeah. Maybe not. Like, real-time shooting and aiming? Like, maybe let's not
putting
give
him
them
into
that.
A literal combat simulator?
Let's not do that.
It's going to be like that fake Boston Dynamics video where they're, like, punching and kicking the robot that has the gun.
That robot will haul off and sock them all eventually.
We're teaching the robots to hide in bushes at this point.
Yeah.
Paging Skynet. Skynet.
Yeah, this is the video that they'll go back and learn from in the future. They'll look towards those videos and be like, this is why we got to get rid of all these humans.
Yeah.
All of them. Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily. For more info on the show and links to articles, check out our website over at checkpointxp.com. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Norris Howard. Brand management by Chad Callahan. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.